God's best for your life. I'll be doing, the session today is about developing character. Last week I talked about the infant stage of raising children. This is a series again, not just for parents of children, but also of grandparents, any kind of a mentor, any kind of an aunt, uncle, or a single person, because I believe that I know that you guys have children in your lives. There's also things being shared from the Word of God in these teachings, in these ministries, this series time about children. It also applies to our lives as well. How many folks agree that we needed to be developing character in our lives also? Not just our kids' lives, but also in our lives. God wants us not to be a character, but be developing character by His goodness and by His grace. Amen. I heard a story this week about how a man was trying to take and teach his little 10-year-old boy about the dangers of alcohol. What he did is he got two live worms. He got a glass full of water and a glass full of alcohol. He put the worm in the water, and of course the worm was thriving, doing fine. He put the other worm in the alcohol, and the worm curled up and died. He asked his 10-year-old son, "What do you learn from this?" He says, "Well, Dad, if I drink alcohol, it'll kill worms." So that's not the best lesson to learn about the dangers of alcohol. Amen. We're going to give our kids, though, sometimes some practical teachings here about character. Let's make sure it does work also as well. This is about now today, about ages 6 to 12, because those are the main ages that God gives us to develop the character in a child's life. I praise God that you parents came back last week. You know, Cheryl and some folks here were almost surprised I didn't get some negative email about talking about spanking children last week, because there's such a real move in our whole country here how you should not produce any pain on your child whatsoever. That's called child abuse. And so I hope I gave you guys, again, the balanced way in God's Word. We actually produce sometimes pain on our child's body in a healthy way that brings to them blessings and not cursings. Amen. I know I received spankings myself that were some good and some not good, some done out of anger and some done in a loving way. The loving way always had more impact on me than an anger way. Amen. And so you guys are all spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ, on fire for God. You'll be always spanking your children in a righteous James Dobson way in Jesus' name. Amen. Always holding them, hugging them, and loving them. Today now is not about spanking and about that kind of discipline, but it's about developing the character in a child. The word character is also a Roman type word. In Roman days, Roman culture, a character was a letter or it was a number that was written or embossed or imprinted on a piece of pottery or a piece of wood or even a piece of metal. It was a permanent fixture. It was a number or a letter there that would be there forevermore, helping to identify that piece of pottery, that piece of art, or that piece of furniture. And so the character inside of us is something embedded inside of us, implanted in us, that actually shapes who we are in life. We can have a very, very beautiful outside body, but if we have ourselves a very rotten character inside, it makes the whole being of us not look so attractive to people around us upon the earth. God wants a godly character formed in us, but also formed in our children as well. So Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope." The word tribulation comes from the root word tribula, and a tribula was a piece of machinery with a wheel, metal wheel, with some iron spikes that were sticking out of that, and they would take and they would roll this tribula over the flattened grain from the harvest, and it would separate the grain from the stalk and from the chaff. So the tribula, the pressure there, brought forth the true grain and brought forth the end product in the time of harvesting back in the days of Israel's harvesting times 2,000 years ago. God tells us by His Word and by His Spirit, the tribulation, the tribula, the pressures of life that pass over us, they bring something of character in us on the other side. Y'all heard us saying time and time again that says, no pain, no gain. Amen. And so pain is not pleasant. We don't like pain around us, but God uses pressure and God uses pain to bring forth godly character inside of us. The good news also is God's a good God and God's a wise God. God knows how to apply just the right amount of pressure in the right part of your life at the right time to bring the end result that God is seeking after. We don't serve a cruel God. We don't serve a mean or a bad God. We serve a loving, kind, and wise God who always brings out the best in you when you allow Him to do that. Amen? And so pain brings gain when it's done by the hand of God. And the good news is also, the Bible says that it says sorrow may last only for a nighttime, short amount of time, but it says joy will come in the morning. And praise God, we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't camp there. We don't stay there. We pass through there. That's not the place of our abode on the earth. Amen. Tribulation, it says again, produces for us a thing that's called perseverance. Notice tribulation also, perseverance also brings forth, produces for us character. And the Bible goes on and says, and character goes on and produces for us something that's called hope. Hope is what our children need to have, especially in these last days. We're seeing things take place on a weekly or monthly basis, like the Colorado massacre, where over 12 folks were killed there by a madman who had a gun there in a theater. What's happening there is it's causing a lot of our kids to lose hope in our society, to lose hope in their future. They see the $17 trillion debt that our nation's in today. They see wars, rumors of wars all around us. They see hurricanes and tornadoes and mass destruction. They see Iraq and they see Korea. And they see all these things around them on the media and on TV. And they see their own peers acting sometimes rude, acting many times selfish, using foul language, an R-rated culture for a G-rated people in the kingdom of God. Amen. And they see that in a causes sometimes hope to be deferred in children's lives. The Bible says again, tribulation will produce endurance and perseverance, which will produce then character, which will then produce the end result thing, which is called hope. One of the key verses here for Tree of Life Church is found in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. And it says that hope that's deferred makes the heart sick. One translation says, hope that is put off is a weariness to the heart. But it says, when a longing comes and desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. The Bible also says, don't become weary in well-doing, because if you take and keep on reaping or keep on sowing, you shall reap if you faint not in due season. Our children are going to be facing things in life that's going to cause their hope to be stretched to the max. It might be college. It might be a lost boyfriend, a lost love, a lost girlfriend. It might be a divorce in their family. It might be a death of their own sister, their own brother, their own mother and father. It might be a car crash. It might be a war break loose upon our country. It might be an unknown sickness grip their bodies. But somehow, some way, our kids are going to be facing hope being deferred in their lives somehow, some way. Well, God says, though, if there's godly character inside of them, when hope starts getting deferred and hope starts getting weird inside of them, that hope will still be there to rise up and see them through with God's help. They won't find themselves backsliding. They won't find themselves giving up hope in what God's word says. They're going to find themselves digging down deep in what God's placed in them in godly character. And so you as parents, you as mentors, and you as grandparents have the ability and the anointing, I believe, to actually put that character inside their hearts with God's wisdom, God's help, and consistently putting, plowing, and cultivating things in them by God's grace and by God's Spirit. So today, we're going to talk about developing character in a child's life. Character is also like tempered steel. Tempered steel is steel that has been put in the fire. And I've heard that in the natural realm, when you take in tempered steel, it first goes to red, then it goes, or first goes to orange, then to red, then to purple, and then finally to blue. When it finally turns blue, they say then the steel has been tempered. I was in eighth grade class, in shop class, in metals class back in middle school in Wichita, Kansas, and I had to take metals for 9 months. And so one of my projects there was to get a piece of a octagonal piece of metal, cut that thing about down to about 8 inches, and make a chisel out of that. And so I put that thing in that fire there, and it did turn, I believe, the orange, the red, the purple, then the blue. Then you hammer the thing out, and you take and file the thing down, and you make a chisel. You put it in the water. When it gets real hot and real red, you put it in the water there, and the water tempers that metal, and it's sealed there like that forevermore. Now, the shop teacher said to test now if your chisel is going to stand the test of time. Once you get this thing totally completed there, you get it filed down, get it sharpened up, get it all polished and tempered, I'm going to take your chisel and put it above my head and drop it on the cement floor of this shop class. He dropped my chisel, and my chisel's point broke in two. I had not taken it, had she done that thing, tempered that thing quite right as an unintelligent 13-year-old boy. And so the next time I got it right. But I'm saying again, only through pressure, through stress, and through the times of tribulation can we finally find ourselves being tested to find out what's really in us in those times. If it's been tempered right, we will not break in the times of testing, in the times of tribulation. Amen? The Bible says in the last days there shall be tribulation also all over the earth. Great pressure released upon the nations. But God also says where sin abounds and God's grace will more abound in that time, in that season. So I believe God to give us more and more grace and God to give us more and more inner strength in these last days and not find ourselves being weak and falling apart when times are tough around us upon the earth. I appreciate what Dr. Flint shared here again about how it's time to contend. We are people right now that have kind of been on cruise control, the body of Christ for the most part, in our nation for several decades now. We had a great move of God take place called the Charismatic Movement in America and around the earth back in the 70s and back in the 80s. We saw thousands and millions getting baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then through that, it was all birthed because of people on their knees crying out to God and saying, God, there must be more than this in the body of Christ. We believe you're a living God, that you're a powerful God, that you're a mighty God, that your gifts have not passed away, but your gifts are still here today as they were thousands of years ago. And by folks persevering, by folks going through tribulation and pain and persecution, they pressed on in and birthed what's called the Charismatic Movement in this hour. But now as the decades are going by, people are sometimes getting a little bit more complacent, a little bit more lackadaisical. And I really appreciate that word today about, again, us contending and realizing, again, God still has more for us in these last days. Pflugerville is not saved yet. Amen. Austin is still not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the most part. We still have work to do, and God's going to be doing more and more in us and through us. But God always works on the inside out every single time. So today again is about developing character in our lives. When we talk about a child having character, it means we are building them to specifications according to what God's Word really says. To withstand pressures, to withstand wearying things in this life, and not just go for the path of least resistance, but sometimes take the hard path to go against the current, to go against the grain, and not fall apart by peer pressure or anything else like that. That's what God's telling us to be looking for in this thing today. So if you have pencil and paper today, please write some things down, some notes down if you would do this. I want to give you, first of all, a long equation on how character actually works. Then I want to break this equation down word by word in this message today. How does character work? The equation was given by a Christian author. It says, first of all, character, first of all, is involved with freedom. He said, freedom equals choices. Choices equals consequences. Consequences equals responsibility. I'm going to say that again. Freedom equals choices. Choices equals consequences, and consequences equals responsibility. We're trying to get from A to B. We're trying to get from freedom to responsibility. That's why, again, America is so great. America is known as the land of the free, the home of the brave, the land of freedom. But if our freedom is not matched with responsibility, it becomes bondage. Amen? We are free, but I'm not free to punch you in the face. I'm not free to make my yard look like it's out there in some Amazon jungle type thing. I'm not free to beat my wife or beat my dog or torture my cat. I'm not free to do those things. I am free, but I'm also responsible with my freedom in Jesus' name. The Bible says I'm free to be a servant of the Lord. Talks about responsibility. So number one here, let's break this thing down now. I said, first of all, character is equals freedom. So character is about freedom, first of all. Freedom and choices. I'm going to put those two together. Freedom and choices. How many folks know that at about age 5 or age 6 mainly, we finally received our first freedom from our parents? You know, I was northern Missouri at age 2. Trying to get my own brain here where I was at. I was born in Kansas. Went to a farm at age 2 in northern Missouri my dad was raised at. And on this farm, we lived about 3 miles from a great big old town called Newtown, Missouri. Population 365. Yeehaw. And so Newtown, Missouri had one school, of course. And in that school campus was the elementary, junior high, high school, all together in one big U-shaped, to me big, campus. And so I was a baby of the family. My mom said, this is the first year, Michael, they're going to offer kindergarten for the first time ever at Newtown Elementary School. Do you want to go? I said, well, I don't know, Mom. She goes, well, I want you home. Just go ahead and just skip kindergarten. And so my mom kept me home all during kindergarten to be with her, the baby of the family. She wanted to have some company. And so the only thing that really hurt me from that was I could not tie my shoes yet on the first day of first grade. But the good news was all those guys that were new to me, they loved to show me how to tie my shoes. I learned very, very quick how to tie my shoes with their help. But I found that about age six in first grade is the first time we began to taste freedom in our lives. And on the farm there, we had a bus, a school bus, came to our front, the road out in front of our house about a couple of hundred yards away. We'd walk down there, my brother, my sister, and I, and we would catch that bus. I remember the first time I saw that bus, the door opens up. It was a brand new school bus. Had brand new smell of rubber on that floor there. It had brand new tires. It had brand new shiny paint. I remember hearing the click, click, click of the flashers going off as the guy was trying to warn traffic to stop behind us. I remember also the smell of diesel fuel. All those things were brand new to me there. I had my first bus ride going to a school. I was big stuff that day. Had my brand new crayons, brand new pencil, brand new pen, brand new Big Chief tablet. How many folks remember the Big Chief tablet? All those things were brand new. And what gave us freedom was my mom, my dad was not there for the first time to tell me, don't color on that, don't paint on that, don't break those crayons, don't peel that little paper thing off of there. And so for the first time in my life, I had the freedom to do with the things I had, pretty much what I wanted to do with them. But they taught me some good manners, some good things, so I didn't really tear things up, but I'm saying we had freedom for the first time. I had freedom in the lunchroom to sit by who I wanted to sit by, eat the food I wanted to eat. And all these things in our lives, freedom takes place little by little from about age 6. And through age 12 as well, God uses that to develop a character inside of our lives. When God made Adam and Eve, God also gave them choices. God gave them freedom. God gave them the ability to say yes and say no. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. The good tree, the bad tree was there. We all know the story. The story goes that they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil one day. And because of that choice they made, there then came to them a thing that's called consequences. God's going to tell us today that whenever you take and make choices, there's going to come a consequence from those choices. Number two today, to write down on your notes here, number two is character is about choices, but it's also about consequences from those choices. Freedom brings choice, but choice always, always brings consequences. The Bible says Adam and Eve ate the apple. They made the choice to do that. The consequence was God said, you're now banned from the garden. You're banned from eating of the tree of life, that you would not live forever upon this earth. Your body will now begin deteriorating. You're going to now find thorns come up. You're going to find yourself giving birth to children in pain. You're going to find yourself having anger and jealousy, and all these thoughts and emotions that were not there before are now going to start bombarding your bodies and your minds and your soul for the first time. How many folks realize there's consequences from our choices we make in this life? Our children must also realize every choice they make has a consequence attached to that choice. Either good choices or bad choices bring good consequences or brings bad consequences to us. Now, the temptation for parents is, though, to make sure our kids have no consequences in their lives by their bad choices. That is a big mistake. To try and guard your child from all bad consequences is not going to bring good things inside the character of their lives. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 talks about this. Verse 7 and verse 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal and everlasting life. So God says making good choices brings everlasting life and good things of God's kingdom. Making bad choices brings you bad consequences and brings corruption to things pertaining to all of your life. In a perfect world, what you sow, you're supposed to be reaping. That's what God's word says here. Ecclesiastes also says, if you sow the wind, you're going to reap what? You're going to reap the whirlwind. So many times you might sow a little bit and receive much back from the sowing you did there in a good or in a bad way. This is called reality consequences from your choices. Reality consequences means something real must take place and must happen as a consequence of my actions upon the earth. And so when we block the consequences from our children from happening, the character of that child becomes stunted in their lives. Parents must sometimes realize, I cannot and should not block every bad consequence from my child's bad decisions, lest I stunt the character development inside of their lives. Amen? So, I'm saying again, our children must understand you cannot do what you want all the time. When you do certain things in this life, there's going to be a negative consequence breakout from doing that every single time you do that. Hebrews chapter 12, 11 from last week. I'm going to read that again today. Hebrews 12, 11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but is painful. The good news here also is, if your child's going through a chastening and it's painful, you can still empathize with your child during the time of pain and turmoil in their lives. Amen. We don't like the pain. We don't want to see our Johnny and Susie have the pain. We're going to use Johnny and Susie again today. We're going to pick on those two names. But I'm saying again, when the pain comes to them, we can still empathize with them in their pain. And then it goes on and says, nevertheless, afterward it yields and produces a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So God actually says the pain, tribulation, the chastening actually trains your children in a thing called righteousness. And that means right living, right standing, rightly doing what God says to do upon the earth. So it brings forth something of a good fruit in their lives. Amen. We need righteousness in our kids' lives. So there's also a difference between reality consequences and a thing called relational consequences. Reality consequences means if my child chooses to not put his Xbox 360 up before dinner time. Our kids were told this. They had their Nintendos. Then time goes by, got Sony PlayStation. Then time goes by, the Xbox 360 comes on the scene. Then time goes by, and the Wii comes in the house. And we're all playing the Wii bowling and the Wii tennis and all things like that. It's a very, very fun game. But we told our kids a long time ago, if your controllers aren't out of the floor before dinner time, they're going to be hidden for about 3 days. And so sometimes our children would not put those controllers up. They forgot about that, didn't listen to us, and they lost those controllers for about 3 days hidden someplace in the house. They had a reality consequence take place from bad behavior in their lives. Amen. They need that also taking place for them. Now, relational consequences is what we want to sometimes get ourselves involved in. This involves our emotions. We show our children anger. We show them sometimes rejection. We withdraw affections from them. We withdraw approval from them. These are all called relational consequences. And God's trying to say to us today, there needs to be reality consequences take place, not things that are relational consequences take place when our children misbehave in our house, in their lives, in the schoolyard, whatever else. There needs to come reality things taking place, not relational things at all. How many folks realize when a policeman pulls you over for speeding, like they've done to me a few times, these policemen, they are trained to not get their emotions involved with your altercation. They don't come to your door and say, do you know how fast you were going? Do you know how many folks were killed last year on this street? Are you crazy? They don't start acting like, they get very calm. They get very, very mild. They get very, very neutral. And they say, registration, license, please. You were going 45 and a 35 mile an hour speed limit here. They start writing things down. Insurance, please. They just start saying things in a matter-of-fact type way, a business type way. They're trained to get not relational, but to get in a matter-of-fact, reality-type, consequence type thing. Now, for the first time in her whole life, my wife, Sheila, got a ticket just about a year ago. She was speeding there. Now, she was trained by some folks in our church here. What do you do when a policeman pulls you over to give you a ticket? And this is a way to most of the time get a warning, not get a ticket. We tried to get all relational on that policeman. Oh, I was just such a, I was trying to get my own grandmother's medicine who's dying in the hospital there. And I saw a little squirrel there. I had to dodge that thing. And I was trying to get away just as fast as I could there. And I'm late for this and that and the other. And I've had just a bad, bad day. I'm under so much stress. I'm working so much overtime here. Oh, policeman, please, officer, have mercy on me. We tried to get all relational like that. Now, Cheryl didn't do that. Cheryl just took it and grinned and buried it. They gave a ticket to her. She said one thing to him. She said, this is the first ticket I've ever gotten in my entire life. And that was the truth. He goes, well, ma'am, here's your first ticket. Have a good day. Don't speed anymore. And that's what he said. Give the ticket there. She paid the fine. No big deal. I'm saying again, don't always try to turn things relational, even for your children. Don't get angry at them on a long-term basis. Don't withdraw affection from them. Don't reject them. Say, this is going to be the consequence for you disobeying this thing in my house. If you don't unload the dishwasher, you're going to find yourself grounded for the whole weekend. If you don't take and feed the cat and feed the dog, you're going to find yourself going through losing TV rights for a whole evening in this house. So there's got to be some known consequence from their behavior in your family. Reality consequences need to take place. Amen? So it's a mistake for us, for parents, to jump in between every consequence of their child's life. This happens best by us as parents sometimes because of bad memories we've had ourselves. You might have had an abusive parent. You might have had abusive teachers. Because of their abuse and injustice towards you, you're trying to do things all the time now to protect your own children from things you suffered yourself as a child. You might have had poverty in your house, a lack of finances, a lack of money. You say, my child will never taste the poverty, the sting of that I faced myself growing up. So I'm going to make sure that all their bills are always paid. They have the newest toy on the block. They have all their heart desires to have. They will never suffer the way I did back in my childhood days growing up. That can be a very, very negative thing, dangerous thing to be thinking like that for your own children. They need to realize, again, that they are people who need to realize there's going to be some consequences take place in this life. If you do wrong, some bad things are going to take place in your life in a non-emotional type realm, but a realm that brings forth realities to you that I'm trying to work on inner character in you somehow, some way. I heard a story this week about a man also that was a baker. And a father told his son to go to the bakery. I want 2 pounds of cookies. Here's the money. Now buy the 2 pounds of cookies for the event this coming weekend at our house. The boy goes there. He comes back. And the father only gets 1 pound of cookies in his hands. He goes back to the baker and says, who do you think you are to rip my kid off like this? I gave you money for 2 pounds of cookies. Only 1 pound is here. You're trying to rip us off. The baker says, I suggest you go ahead and weigh your son. You might find where the cookies went. You see, many parents sometimes always blame the authorities around the kid that they're always wrong and my little Johnny and Susie does nothing wrong and they're always right all the time. We're training our kids there. You can do what you want to do in life and I will always back you up. I will have your back. I will defend you right or wrong because you're perfect and I know that. That's a dangerous thing to think for our kids. Amen. Because all of us that were kids did make mistakes and did do things sometimes that was not always right. And the kids need to sometimes be researched out and ratted out and find out what is the real story behind this teacher's complaint, this principal's complaint, this nursery worker's complaint, this youth pastor's complaint. Is it really on my kid here or is it really them there? Let's research these things out and find the truth out. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. That brings a lot of turmoil to families. It breaks down relationships. It breaks down friendships. It causes all kinds of problems in society. We always think our kids are doing things perfect all the time and make no mistakes in life. Moving on here, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians 6, 5. God wants our children to learn to take responsibility in their own lives for their own actions. Galatians 6, 5 says this. It says, for each one shall bear his own load. His own load. The Greek word load there actually means a small parcel like a backpack your kid takes to school. How many folks know that your kid bears his own backpack at school? If you fly American Airlines, you're responsible for your own carry-on luggage on that airplane. You won't find the folks around you trying to help you carry your carry-on luggage. It's a load. It's a small load, hopefully. It fits in the overhead compartment. It is your backpack. It is your overhead carry-on. It is your responsibility to carry that load yourself. Let's back up now. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says here, bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. Contradictory, it seems like. God is saying here in verse 5, bear your own load. He says in verse 2, bear each other's burdens. Well, the word burdens is a Greek word that means a load so heavy it would break your back to try to carry that load. You see, a load and a burden is not the same thing. Your child has certain loads that God wants them to carry in their lives. That load is unwashing the dishwasher. That load is taking out the trash. That load is keeping their rooms clean. That load is eating the right food at the right time at dinner time around the table. Your kids can handle that load. Amen. That load is not burdensome. It is not going to break their back. It is theirs to carry, and theirs, it is their backpack in life. And so God said, let every man learn to carry his own load, his own backpack. If your child has responsibilities there, don't do your responsibilities theirs for them. Make sure they do it themselves. It even costs them sleep sometimes. Let them carry their own load in life. That means do their own homework. That means sometimes make their own way to school. That means make their own phone calls for birthday parties. I'm saying let them carry their own load, but when burdens come, burdens are carried by other folks around them in help. So number three, character is about responsibility. Everybody is responsible for their own loads, but if they get a burden too big for them to carry, then that is when you must get involved yourself and help them out in carrying that burden in their lives. I want to say again that a burden is a child who's got great big ears being bullied by people and peers at school every day, being made fun of, being beaten down, being hit on, being kicked and so forth. That is a burden. That is not a load. Amen? It is breaking their back. That's when we get involved, when folks are being bullied, when folks are going through sicknesses and illnesses, when there's a death in the family. That creates a burden too big for them to bear in their lives. Amen? You know, right now in our church, I mentioned in our prayer about the Meadows family, these guys are going through a real burden-producing thing this past 7 days. Their own son-in-law, Justin, had a terrible car crash, went underneath an 18-wheeler in San Antonio about 8 days ago. The engine goes into his lap. He's now got third-degree burns on the upper part of his thigh, the bottom part of his stomach, and just going through. He has multiple fractures in his left leg. He has broken bones in his hands, his arms, and the guy's had a tremendously bad week. That goes on. Then about 5 days later, his own dad wrecks his car, Glenn Meadows, and he hits a cement pole about two days ago. He passed out at the wheel from complications of his own colon, and by the grace of God, he hit a pole that stopped him going head on into other traffic there. He's got only minor injuries, a few scratches on his forehead from the wreck, but he's going through right now today a colonoscopy to get his colon checked out to see why he passed out that day, why the pain is in his body that's there. And there's other things besides that going on in that family's life. These guys have burdens right now that we as Tree of Life Church members need to take and rally around these guys and try to help them out all we can. Amen. I'm going to suggest you guys even think about taking and even sowing alms, perhaps, to the Meadows family somehow the next few days or a few weeks here for a while as they get back on their feet, because they have the income's been cut off for the most part to their family because of loss of work by Glenn, who has contract work, not really a regular clock-in type job. So I'm saying, think about even alms being sown to that. You can take and make that attention to Shannon Porterfield here and myself or my wife as well, or Christian upstairs, children's ministry. If you want to give some alms giving to the Meadows family, please make that known to us. We'll make sure all that goes to them. And we're going to buy some things to them today also in our church and help them out with groceries before this day is over. What I'm saying is all of us sometimes go through a season where a burden is on our back that is so great, it's about to break our back. And that's where God says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. Amen. Kids have loads that should be buried or carried by themselves. They may have burdens sometimes, though. They should be helped be carried by their parents, others around them in those times. We sometimes also set a child's character when we hand out rewards for what is not called exceptional behavior. We're living in a time right now where the public school system, the humanistic society around us tells us all children must receive the same reward no matter what takes place in their classroom. So every kid now gets a trophy for every sporting event done pretty much in public schools today right across our country. That is not a healthy thing for our kids to be going through. We should not be rewarding what is not exceptional behavior. When our children take their first steps, we applaud them, we clap for them, bring the balloons out, have a great big party, blow the horn, say, praise God, your first step, you're a well done. You're a great child taking your first step here upon the earth. God bless you. When they're 12 years old, though, and they step out of their bed in the morning and walk down the stairs, the same applause does not take place. It is no longer called exceptional behavior when they walk down the stairs and they wake up in the morning on a Saturday morning. Amen? Well, the same thing is also true of many things our kids do sometimes. When they take the trash out, empty the trash cans, they empty out the dishwashers, feed the dog, feed the cat, vacuum the rugs, keep their rooms clean. That is not called exceptional behavior. That is called carrying your load in this house. That is called normal behavior. Amen? And so their allowances can sometimes be docked for not doing what's called carrying your load in this house. But I'm saying don't reward your kids for what is not exceptional behavior in their lives. Otherwise, what takes place here is a thing that's called the feeling of entitlement starts coming upon their hearts and their minds and their souls. I've heard this word now about 10 times for some reason in the past 2 weeks. Feelings of entitlement. The youth group right now upstairs with Chad and Amanda are going through a series of teachings about not feeling entitled to receive things upon the earth. We're living in a time right now where most of our kids feel entitled to receive things that are big to us in their lives that seem small to them. What's God's word say about this? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21, 25, and 26, it says, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to work or labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous give and do not hold back or do not spare from giving." When a child feels entitled, he feels it is actually owed to him. Have you ever seen a child sometime on a Christmas morning when the grandparents are around and the uncles and aunts are around perhaps, and they get that $300 electronic iPad, whatever else, they open that thing up there and they just kind of look at it, maybe kind of smile, but say nothing at all about gratitude for receiving that gift that day for their birthday or for their Christmas. And then as time goes by, the embarrassed mother, embarrassed father, with the grandmother gave the gift to them, kind of pipes up and says, "What do you say? What do you say? What do you say?" And they finally say, thank you. Now, why do they do that? Because, you see, their friend got the same thing about 5 months ago, and they're thinking, "What took you so long to buy me my iPad?" They got their iPad about 5 months back. I'm getting mine now 5 months later, and they have almost no gratitude in their hearts at all, even towards that big gift being given to them. That's feelings of entitlement. And it should be addressed in our children's lives if it's there somehow, some way. Amen? We need to ask ourselves, is this thing my child's going through just uncomfortable, just a load to bear? Or is it actually breaking their back? Is it a burden they're facing that I must help them out with in their lives? You know, I first met Cheryl, and we were not even quite dating yet. I was doing prayer times with her and a woman named Fiona, her friend, at CFNI Bible School every morning about 7 o'clock in the morning. We'd pray for about an hour together. And she was telling me as time was going by, she said, you know, Michael, she said, I'm going with you guys doing rock seminars and doing Fiona's ministry, and I got full-time workload here, and all my papers and all my homework is all wearing me down, about to break my back. I'm going through almost a nervous breakdown. It seems like I can't get my work done. I just stopped all my things I was doing right there and helped her carry this burden and get all of her papers done, get back up to snuff again and do some research, do some studying, do some whatever else. And so her grades came back up again and all things got caught up once again. I'm saying for a season there, sometimes you must take and stop what you're doing and bear folks' burdens around you. Even your kids' burdens must be borne. But discern, is this a load or is this a burden they're facing in their lives? Finally, in closing today, I want to talk about these five things, five building blocks of character. Just write these things down, perhaps. This is visual. It's the hand. I'm going to use my hand with a ring finger on it. Five building blocks of character to try to memorize, think about, that God wants placed in our children's lives, our lives also. The first one's called the thumb. The thumb stands for responsibility. It holds everything else together. Your thumb holds it all together. Being responsible holds everything together of character in your child's life. The index finger, it stands for respect. Teach your children to respect others, respect the genders of male and female, respect the elderly, respect the aged, respect all ages, respect other cultures, other races, Respect their parents. Respect all authority, and also, above all else, respect the Lord your God. The index finger. Respect is one of those building blocks of character in lives. You know, it's not right for us to have older folks entering the house, our room, even our church sanctuary sometimes, and our kids don't even give eye contact to them. Always look at an elder in the eye and say, "How you doing, ma'am? Hello, sir." We try to teach our kids a long time back, make eye contact with other adults, with other parents, and say hello, smile at them. How are you doing? You know, most folks make almost no eye contact at all with folks around them, and that needs to come to a stop and change in their lives. They are worthy of respect. Amen? You take someone here in our church here who's been a housewife and mother, they have changed 5 million diapers. They have been up countless nights with babies. They have put folks through educational things like high school, college, universities, and so forth. They've driven cars. They've been taxi drivers. These folks are worthy of respect in their lives. Amen? We got men that have fought in World War II, Vietnam, Korean Wars. They've laid their lives down for our nation. They've raised kids, raised families. They've worked jobs 60 hours a week. They've done overtime. But sweat of their brow, they deserve the respect of our youth in this day and this hour. Amen? And so the same thing's true of policemen, of firemen, reverends, pastors, all folks around us that are leaders and authorities. They all deserve some respect every day of their lives. Amen? Train that in your child's life. Have respect. The middle finger stands for stewardship, the far-reaching finger, stewardship. That talks about your money, your time, and your possessions. Teach your children money and time and possessions are all finite. They should be guarded, they should be stewarded over, and they should be talked about and learned about in a wise way in their lives. You have X amount of time, X amount of money, X amount of things in your life. I told my kids a long time back, here's your car that you bought yourself. Now, wash that thing, vacuum that thing, keep that thing clean, make it look like you actually care about it in your life. Amen? The same thing is true of their toys, their bedrooms, their clothing. Respect those things, be steward of those things, and show some things of character towards those things in your life. As far as money goes, it's going to teach your kids what I call the Dave Ramsey rule, and that is the 80-10-10 rule. 10% of all your money allowance goes to tithe, then 10% goes towards savings, then 80% goes toward whatever you want to go towards in your life from that point on. Live on your 80%, tithe 10%, save 10%, live on 80%, and learn that at age 6, 8, 9, 10, and 12, and that'll serve you well in your life as you grow up. The ring finger talks about relationships, means spirituality, spirituality. Let's teach our kids to have a relationship with God that is thriving, life-giving, full of joy, and full of growth for them somehow, some way. The Bible says in Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, from a child, you have known the scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. We taught our kids, this little bitty kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, when they could read, this is your little Bible full of pictures, full of photographs, very exciting, very colorful, very nice. Now read this Bible every day. Learn about Jesus. Learn about John the Baptist. Learn about Jonah and the whale. Learn all these things you can learn about, but read your Bible and pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. I'd put on praise tapes back in the 80s. They played Hosanna music. I'd get Sarah and Kristen and Daniel out as little bitty kids. I would dance with them all over the living floor. I'd take their hands, I'd jump and throw them in the air, twirl them around, do hoedowns for Jesus in our living room there, playing Christian praise music there. I remember little Sarah one time when she was only about 8 or 9 years old. She loved one group so much. I can't remember even the name of the group even. It's so long back. It says, if you don't like this group, stay out of my room. It was actually a little poster on her wall. Unless you love so-and-so. Who was that, Sarah? Oh, plus one. Unless you love plus one, you are not allowed in this room. I was so impressed by that. This girl had such a passion for godly music there that she said, don't even come inside my room if you don't like plus one. Little 10-year-old girl doing that. Now, times have changed, and she likes other groups, I'm sure, and the signs kind of come down. But I'm saying the foundation's there. Do spiritual things in your lives. Last of all, it's called the little finger. Little finger stands for the conscience. The conscience. It brings balance to our life. It helps us stay out are on a steady course in our life. Your conscience guides you, leads you along in a steady way, a balanced way in your life. So again, that thumb stands for responsibility. The index finger stands for respect. Middle finger stands for stewardship. The ring finger stands for spirituality. And the little finger stands for your conscience, a balance and a straight course being met in your life on an ongoing basis. As James comes back to the platform to help me out here a little bit, please, at the end of this service, we need to take and teach our children one strong thing, and that is, I will not hold grudges and I will not hold unforgiveness for folks around me in my life. I will not take and be a person that you will see be an example of the flesh, carnality, and unforgiveness in this household. And I pray to God that as God gives us parents, grandparents, mentors, aunts and uncles, an anointing to raise our kids up in the fear of God, the admonition of God, the ways of God, that God's word also is true to us. It says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is not one more big thing to do on your list of things to do, parents, to wear you out. This is a freeing thing for you for the future as well. It's an investment for the future. Amen. If we don't do things for our kids now, we're going to pay for it down the road, and we're going to reap the whirlwind as time goes by. A little bit of time right now brings a whole lot of relief later on. But the good news also is our kids will find their destinies in Jesus Christ a whole lot easier if there's godly character placed in them at a very, very young age. Amen. When I was old, I said, just go ahead and just bow our head and close.